little time or a lot of time, it's wonderful to be in God's Word, isn't it? And the amazing thing is this. Don't take it the wrong way. Oh, Kenny says I'm not on yet. Don't take it the wrong way. But no matter how terrible the preacher may be, if it's God's Word and you're listening, you can glean something from it. So I'm going to do my best. But it's up to you to try and glean something out of God's Word as it comes to us this morning. And we praise God for the Holy Spirit who just does that. It's always amazing to me. You can have 10 people listen to the same sermon, and this person will say, well, I got this out of it. And this person will, I didn't get that at all. This is what I got out of it. And that lets you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts and with His Word. I thought a great place to go that would be easy for us to understand and not take a lot of time in preparation is to the book of Galatians. So if you want to open up your Bible this morning to Galatians chapter 5, this is probably something that could be preached on monthly because we are all in need of it. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be giving special attention to verses 22 and 23. And do you know these verses? These are the fruits of the Spirit. And Cash and Brody and all of you out there, Henry, these are good things for us to learn at even a young age. The fruits of the Spirit, something that God wants to see active and abounding in our lives. So let's read these two little verses this morning here. The Apostle Paul writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now that's not surprising, is it? That there's no law against things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. These are all things that we love to receive from one another, aren't they? Yeah, I've never been upset with somebody for being joyful around me or being patient with me. Never been upset with them for being kind to me. These are things that the Lord wants to see in our lives and wants to see us interacting with each other in this way, right? Well, in the Reformed churches, we have the doctrine of graces that are doctrines of grace that are taught to us repeatedly, as they should be, I might say. We draw great assurance from the doctrines of grace. In Sunday school, we study them, like the acoustic tulip, total depravity and unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. I wish I had time to go through a little bit of all those so that we can just get the feel for what I'm saying, but we're taught these great truths of Scripture, and I love to see them taught to us, to our children, to our grandchildren. But I've also noticed in watching in the Reformed Church today that many of us, at times at least, who confess to believe and hold on to these doctrines of grace, we do it at the exclusion of the encouragement verses or the warning verses. And we have our little slogans that we don't, you know, that get used at least to describe what we believe. So often people say, oh, you're one of those once saved, always saved people, right? Well, there's a lot more to it than that. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to say that. We say, no, that's not exactly what we believe. Or we can say, yes, that is what we believe and explain it that way, you know. Philippians tells us that he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. We know that salvation is of God. And all of these things are important to understand, but sometimes we forget that there are other verses out there like, but work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To the same person who was explaining election, Peter, to his congregation, he said, and make your election sure. Well, that seems kind of funny, isn't it? First, we're told that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the earth. And then he says, but make your election sure. Why
would he do that? Why would he do that? You know, the Old Testament people of God, most of them got it wrong. Scripture said that those Israelites be like the sand on the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. Now think about that. Though the Israelites be like the sand on the seashore, how many grains of sand out there? Only a remnant will be saved. Paul goes on to say, so too at this present time, there is a remnant of God's people. How did they get it so wrong? I mean, it was so clear that Abraham believed and his faith was what? Credited to him as righteousness. It was a gift of God. And yet, when the Israelites showed up, they didn't say, look at my faith, Lord, I believe like Abraham believed. They said, I'm saved because I'm an Israelite. And Jesus said, listen, I can raise up bones out of the ground that are covenant people. There's more to it than just holding on to these great doctrines. And that's not to say the doctrines aren't great. We praise God for the assurance of salvation and knowing that once we're saved, that it's God who keeps us there. But what God encourages us to understand and actually warns us to believe is there are many who say they believe and they don't believe. So he says, don't be one of these. Please don't be one of these. Well, how can we know then, Lord? Well, you know, the Apostle Paul says, here is one of the ways you can know. You're not going to have these fruits in your life if you don't believe, because they're fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, these fruits of the Holy Spirit as we move on. Now, on top of the encouragement verses like that, we also have verses from Ephesians that says, no immoral, and this is, by the way, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. I sometimes wonder what they thought when he was speaking to them, okay? So here he is, he's got a message going, and he says, now let me remind you, brothers and sisters, let me remind you, covenant people, no immoral or impure or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. The Apostle James tells us that faith without works is dead faith. So we see that we cannot live an unchanged life if we're saved, if we're believers. We can't go on with the status quo. And these fruits of the Spirit are exactly opposite of that. They're opposite of the status quo. They come from repentance, from true repentance. And true repentance always what? Bears fruit. I mean, this goes way back to John the Baptist, doesn't it? He warned people to bear fruit in keeping with what? Yeah, and with their repentance. So there's this constant encouragement from God's people that says, don't become complacent. It's not about earning our salvation. Certainly it's not about earning our salvation. Praise God. But it's also about not becoming complacent in who we are. If, as Brad said this morning, if we have a love for God, that love should be a constant motivation. I look around this congregation this morning, and I see a lot of men that I know here, and I've watched them for years serving and taking care of their families and their wives. Why do you think they do that? You think it's totally out of duty? Because the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. They do it because they love their wives. They do it because they love their wives. It motivates them to do that thing, even when it's hard. That's what our love for God does for us. It motivates us to do the right thing, to obey. Do we do it perfectly? Not this child. The closer you are to me, the closer of a friend you are to me, the more you know that to be true. But it is a constant effort, a constant thought in our minds that we want to live for the Lord and that we want to see these fruits clearly in our lives. We are to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. This fruit is to be visible to others. If I were to ask you, you've heard me ask this question before in Sunday school, I think it's a great reflection. You know, we want to be careful not to reflect on our own lives so much that we're discouraged because we're going to see sin, right? Okay, the scripture said, John tells us, if you claim to be without sin, the truth is not in you. Now, in my family, they would have said, if you claim not to be a sinner, you're a liar. Okay, that's all John was saying. If you claim that that sin's not there, so he's not saying that we're not going to be sinners. But that our life, the total of our life, should show forth this fruit, that it should be visible to others. So if I were to ask you this morning, if people who do not know you had to be around you, maybe in an office, maybe at school, maybe it's in community service where you are, if they really didn't know you personally, would they say, after watching you over the course of a year, would they say that you were a believer? Would that come to mind for them? Because while I think that introspection is dangerous, it can be dangerous to look inside too much. We need to be looking to Christ. It's also dangerous not to look at our lives at all, right? We have to be fruit inspectors in our lives to know that we see ourselves growing. What would they say? What would someone say about me? Or what would someone say about you? Would they say that we're committed to Christ? Would they say that we serve the Lord more than we serve ourselves? That's always a tough one for me. Because if there's somebody out there I love, it's Joe. And I don't say that proudly. But I catch myself doing things that benefit me instead of my Lord. And when actually they don't benefit me if you look in the long run, because anytime you go against what God says, it comes back to bite you. But very often, I'll do something because I think it's going to be fun or enjoyable rather than doing what I know the Lord tells me to do. That's just a fact. So I have to confess to you, and I have to confess to myself, that therefore I'm serving myself in that moment, right? 90% of the time, if I'm in an argument with my wife or somebody in my family, it's because I'm serving myself and wanting to be right. I'm not thinking about how it's going to benefit them or how I can turn the discussion to be great, to show them grace and to bring growth. So often we serve ourselves. How would people see us? How do we see ourselves? Well, as we look at these fruits of the Spirit, we're going to do that here in just a few moments. We see a lot of positive things. I've always thought it's good to have a comparison. We're going to look at these positive things that should be in their lives. Well, hey, let's do something else. Let's look at some of the things that shouldn't be in our lives. So let me throw a few things out there for you and see if they hit as many nerves with you as they hit with me when I wrote them down. Would these people who'd watched our lives over the course of a year, would they ever see uncontrolled anger? Some people would call it fits of rage. Here's one that sneaks in. Would they see a lack of forgiveness in your life? Would they see somebody who keeps a record of wrongs? Can you go back in your mind way back about what somebody did to you? Those things come up in your mind over and over when you're thinking about somebody? That's a lack of forgiveness. Would they see drunkenness? Time when you've had so much to drink that you say or think things you wouldn't normally do. It doesn't mean wobbling, falling down drunk, folks. means just getting to a point where you would let your something flow off your tongue that you wouldn't normally let flow, or a thought flow into your mind that you normally wouldn't let be there. That is losing self-control. That's drunkenness. Would they see adultery? You say, well, I would never, ever cheat on my wife. What do you watch on TV? Do your eyes cheat? What do you watch on your cell phone, young men? Do your eyes cheat? Would they see greed in your life? Where you're so concerned about your own wealth and your own money that you don't think of others? You don't put others first? You know, young people, we were talking about adultery. The same thing goes for sex outside of marriage. We got a lot of high schoolers here and junior high schoolers here. You're going to be faced with those questions, whether you're going to be faithful to God in these areas or whether you're going to go down a road that you think is pleasurable to yourself when, in fact, once again, turns around as what I said earlier, bites you in the rear. When they looked at you, would they see somebody who's advances dissension in the church, a gossip, works on discord, breaking people up instead of unifying or being a peacemaker, someone who loves to quarrel? These are all things came right out of Ephesians. Every one of these that we're talking about comes out of Ephesians, where Paul, addressing the church, says, look at these things, you guys. You used to be these, you shouldn't be them anymore. Now, if they're not there at all, why in the world is he addressing them? You know they're there, right? Sure, we don't like to admit it, but we struggle with these things. Are you always mad at somebody? You always got somebody you're at war with? That's not a good thing. As we get into Galatians, we're going to see that. So these things should not be, brothers and sisters, in our lives. These things at least should not be the pattern of our life. It doesn't mean that they're not going to poke their ugly head up at some point and we go and we fall into that sin and we have to come back and confess it to the Lord. But it certainly shouldn't be the pattern of our life. It shouldn't be something that somebody who was watching us over the course of a year would say, oh yeah, these characteristics belong to Joe Hendricks or belong to Greg DeBoer or belong to Mark Souza. It shouldn't be something that they tie as a pattern to our lives because of the way that we live. If we belong to Christ, here is what should be evident in the fruits of the Spirit. So let's just read these fruits again together one more time before we look at them. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So I brought up a lot of things and said, are these in your lives as negative things? It shouldn't be there. What about these? Let's talk about them just for a moment. Do you have love in your life? Do you have a love for God's people? Do you love to be around God's people? I'm telling you, and I'm not kidding, this morning I'm up and I'm taking care of my animals in the morning. And I'm excited to come here and be with you. Because you're my family. We're the family of Christ. You're my brothers and sisters. You're the ones that Christ has died to redeem. Do you love your brothers and your sisters? Do you love God's people? Do you love the Lord? And so, therefore, putting his desires above your desires. And that's a huge one for me. That's the one I have to come back to all the time. Okay, Lord, am I living to please me or am I living to please you? I really struggle with that one. I want to live to please the Lord. Love is one of those things that overlooks those wrongs that we talked about and cares for the needs of others. That shows up in the way we pray for people. Sometimes things come up in our lives where you can go and you can help someone out. I heard of someone this week that went over and helped somebody else put in a hot water heater. I'm sure that wasn't the most favorite thing in the world that person would love to do. That shows real love for that person. Sometimes we can't do that, though. Sometimes that person may be ill. And you'd love to take that illness away from them, but you can't because you don't have the power to do that. But you can pray for them. And you can encourage them. And you can let them know that you do love them and how much you think of them. That's a love for God's people. How do you express your joy? How do we express our joy? Being happy in heart. Do you have a positive attitude about the sovereignty of God in your life and in others' lives? You encourage them that way? I think the past couple of weeks I've had three or four brothers that we've talked about politics, and every one of them before the end would say, aren't you happy that the Lord's in control? What a great encouragement, because it's so easy to watch the news and get down, isn't it? I got to be careful how much conservative radio I listen to because, man, they're bummers. I mean, they really are. I wish just one time one of them would jump up and say, but God's in control, so ultimately we're going to win this thing. His way. Got to be careful about that. Want to have that positive outlook. Want to be pleasant to be around, right? Encourage each other. He goes on to say, do we have peace as one of the fruits in our life? And this means peace in your own life. This also means being a peacemaker. Not getting involved in others' quarrels. If we don't have something charitable to say about a brother and sister, we shouldn't say it. And if we hear somebody else do it, we should gently and lovingly rebuke them for it. I don't mean say, hey, don't say that. I mean say, well, you know, let's. They're not here right now. We probably shouldn't even be talking about them in this light. Or maybe they didn't mean it that way. So-and-so did that to you. Maybe they didn't mean it that way. Have you talked to them? You're talking to me about it. Now, surely you've gone and talked to them first, right? Being a peacemaker within the church. Always trying to bring people together. That's having peace in our lives. Giving people the benefit of the doubt. Looking for the best in others. Looking for the best in others. Sometimes when you're upset, when emotions are high, all you can think of is the worst, right? In the marriage counseling I've done with people, when they're on the brink, I've always said, well, if this person is so terrible, if you really hate this person as much as you say they are, what attracted you to them in the first place? There had to be something you enjoyed at the beginning, something you saw that was good, right? And if you can get people to thinking along those lines, they're encouraged. Well, it's not just marriages that way. It's when somebody's been hurt by a brother or sister to do that. Yeah, but you know what? How about when they did this? Or how about when they did that for you? Or you were a part of this, and always looking for the best in others, being charitable with each other, giving grace to one another, right? Giving mercy to one another. Matter of fact, isn't there a scripture that says to be merciful as you want mercy to come back to you? Kind of remember the Lord's Prayer saying that we should forgive as we, what? Yes, as we want to be forgiven. Yeah. Kindness. I think when we were going down the assembly line, that jar was empty when the Lord came to when I come flowing by. I really got to work on being kind. You know, as a matter of fact, I think the reason that happened is my wife was in front of me and she got a double dose of it. And so I got to work on this one. It's easy for me to be harsh. I don't like that about myself. I don't want that to be that way. And I try. I always tell my wife, remember, you're up here and I'm down here, so I can double and I'm still not near as close as where you are. So I'm working on this thing here. You know where each one in your life, right? You know your weaknesses. These fruits should be in our lives. Goodness. Are we moral with our mouth and our ears and our eyes and our body? Do we try and live a holy life while trusting in Christ? I don't want anybody to go out of here today. We're almost done. I don't want anybody to go out of here today saying, oh, I can never be good enough to be a Christian. No, that is not what this sermon says. You're trusting in Christ for your goodness. But you're saying, because I love you so much, Lord, I am going to move on. Faithfulness. Are you true to your word? Do you keep your promises, the scripture says, even when it hurts? Are you gentle? Are you mean, harsh, brazen, and loud? Are you self-controlled? We've already talked about that. Flying off the handle in a rant or a rage. I think getting drunk falls into this. Lust falls into this. Do you desire to have the fruits of the Spirit present in your life? That's the question we're looking at today. Are you working out your salvation with fear and trembling? Brothers and sisters, we should commit these fruits to memory and ask ourselves what we see in our lives when it comes to those. Because I promise you, each and every one of us have room for improvement. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would let the fruits of the Spirit abound in our lives, Lord. Not just exist, but abound. And that they would be evident one to another, and that we would encourage each other in them. We would see them in another's life and want them in our own. Let us never become complacent, Lord, and just comfortable being where we are. But always, out of our love for you, want to grow to be more Christ-like. And we'll thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.